Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room, formerly known as the Locker Room app. Guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps. Hello again, guys. Here we are. Third and final NFC North preview, or NFC North opponent preview. We got one NFC North show left to do, and our good friend Lauren Cox will be with us on Thursday to help preview our beloved Chicago Bears for 2021. But before we get to the Bears, we got to go with our number one rival, the Green Bay Packers. And as we all know, it's been, thanks to Adam Schefter, drama got kicked into high gear on draft night when he went public with the fact that, you know, what Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers have been going through all along during the offseason was about Aaron Rodgers' disgruntledness and not wanting to return to Green Bay unless some changes were made, and so on and so forth. And it's just been pretty much all the NFL landscape has been able to talk about when it's not talking about the draft or, you know, Barkevious Minkow and Richard Sherman and all the drama that those fools are getting themselves into these days. It reverts back to the Aaron Rodgers drama. Now, because of scheduling and things like that, Evan and I spoke to Evan first in front of Jeremy Reisman and Chris Gates, who we've already heard from for the Vikings and the Lions, respectively. So when Evan and I talked, it was the day before the opt-out date. So if you were going to opt out for 2021, Friday, July 2nd was the date. Evan and I spoke on Thursday the 1st. So, and it just so happens that because, you know, obviously the Packers won the division last year there, the last show we do in the NFC North. So some of the info we were talking about, well, like you'll hear us refer to the fact that, you know, the opt-out date is coming, but, you know, Evan wasn't really concerned about the opt-out date. He turned out to be right about that. The date he's most concerned about is sometime next week when the Packers are supposed to report to camp. Will he show up? Will he be there? And what have you. So that's when Packer fans will start to get a little bit nervous if and when Rodgers doesn't show up for training camp when Green Bay reports sometime next week. So, but otherwise, you know, we run through the team, and, you know, despite his awful allegiances to the absolute wrong football team, Evan Western is one of my favorite guests to have on the show, and we love talking to him. So without further ado, let's go ahead into the third and final NFC North opponent preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Let's go ahead and get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone. And in our last stop in our NFC North preview, before we get to our beloved Chicago Bears, of course, we have to talk about the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it just wouldn't be a conversation about the NFC North without Green Bay, unfortunately. And as always, our good friend from Acme Packing Company, Evan Western, is here to help us preview the 2021 Green Bay Packers. Evan, welcome back, man.
Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure, Larry. It's always great to be here talking to you.
So I heard a rumor. there's something going on with Aaron. Is it Rodgers, something like that? He was like, you know, I heard he was like most valuable player last year. Yeah, kind of thing. You heard of this guy?
Yeah. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good quarterback from what I heard.
Yeah. Is there something going on with him? I mean, I haven't heard a word about anything. I mean, the sports world is mum about the whole thing.
Yeah, this has been quite the ordeal for Packers fans.
Sure.
It brings back shades of 2008 with the Favre craziness that year with the retirement and will he, won't he, and coming back and getting traded and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, that was not an experience that any of us were eager to repeat in any way, shape, or form, and kind of feels like here we are, you know, 13, 14 years later, kind of feeling like history is repeating itself a little bit.
So what I really want to know about the whole thing is not so much about, you know, what have you heard about Rodgers and blah, blah, blah. It's like, how's the fan base dealing with this? I know you mentioned, you know, it's kind of, you know, echoes of what happened before with Favre before he left and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, is there, you know, people that are, you know, venomous towards Rodgers, like how dare you, or, you know, or anything like that? Or some people still drinking the Kool-Aid and hoping he comes back, or some people on the fence? I mean, is it all the above? What's going on with the fan base right now?
Yeah, it's very individual. It depends on who you talk to. You've got the people who are just ready to kick him out of the nest and say, you know, get the hell out of here. Calling him, you know, a whiny, selfish, entitled guy. You've got other people who are kind of saying, you know, I see where he's coming from, taking a little more middle ground approach, saying that, yeah, you know, maybe a team should, you know, give a little more credence to the thoughts of a guy who's won 3 MVP awards when it comes to, you know, some of the personnel moves on the margins. And then you got, you know, others who, you know, they are full-blown kind of Rodgers supporters in this and think that, you know, Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy have really mismanaged the whole situation and understand where he's coming from. And in my view, I mean, personally, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I usually try to look at both sides and I can understand some of what Rodgers is saying about some of the cultural things with this organization, some of the communication things that have happened. I really think, to me, the biggest problem that spurred all this on wasn't the drafting itself of Jordan Love last year, but I think it was the fact that there was no communication between the front office and Rodgers about that pick being either a possibility or, you know, being something that was, you know, within the realm of possibility that might be a direction that they might go if the chips fall in the right that way. And so that lack of communication,
we are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
can completely understand where, you know, why he would be very frustrated by that. And I certainly would understand why that would motivate you to go out there and have the season he did last year with a chip on his shoulder, because we all know he plays better under those type of circumstances when he's pissed off. But then to come out and after playing that way, basically proving that, yeah, you're still the best quarterback in the NFL, and then to have some to take the position that he kind of has, and seemingly with the team wanting to bring him back and wanting to, you know, to give him some semblance of long-term security as the starter, then to have turn around and you know, seem like you don't want to come back, or you don't appreciate that. That's where I struggle a little bit. You've proved yourself invaluable and irreplaceable, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, why after you do that do you think that, you know, that this is the right time to go this route? And, you know, we'll see what shakes out. I think there's still a chance that there could be a reconciliation here. I think the front office and Gutekunst in particular has taken some made some public comments acknowledging that they didn't handle certain things very well, especially on the communication piece. So I think that probably helps a little bit. But I just wonder if maybe the Mark Murphy Rodgers relationship is kind of where everything kind of stems from. And if that's the case, you know, you're putting the quarterback against the, you know, the de facto owner, team president. And, you know, generally that doesn't usually end well for the player, no matter what happened, you know, no matter how good he is. So we'll see. That's just kind of my take on everything. I hope he comes back and I certainly would rather him be under center than Jordan Love this year, to be sure. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens, because this team, I think, is still set up really well for another Super Bowl run if he comes back. And I don't think he's going to have anywhere near as good a chance to make a run at a ring anywhere else but Green Bay.
So is the beef with Murphy or Gutekunst? I've heard it was Gutekunst. So where does Murphy kind of fall into this?
Yeah, there were some reports coming out of the draft after the news all broke that he wanted Gutekunst fired, and that was kind of his red line for coming back. He's kind of said that that's not the case, or at least his proxies have said that that's not, you know, that's not what he's ticked off about. I can understand him being frustrated with Gutekunst because of those communication issues. But I do think that, you know, Murphy kind of set up a new power structure a couple of years ago when they hired Matt LaFleur and kind of rearranged everything, where the coach and the GM report to him. And really, instead of having a pathway of the coach reporting to the GM, reporting up to the owner. So, I just wonder if there's some, you know, everything kind of starts at the top, especially when you're talking about the culture of an organization and the culture of a front office. And so I do just wonder, because Rodgers, the few comments he has made publicly kind of talked about that culture and the people being at the core of the issues he's having. So ultimately, to me, that tells me it all starts at the very top of the organization with Murphy.
Interesting.
So just trying to read the tea leaves here, but, you know, Rodgers has been real, you know, real coy and real careful in his words not to really give away anything about what his position is, or even really what he wants to see change to convince him to come back. So that's all we're really left with is trying to interpret the few things he has said, and that's just kind of where I land on things.
Any Shailene Woodley haters out there? Like, you know, he's got this new woman in his life and all of a sudden he's making a sharp left and wants out of town.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Those are out there too. Especially with the fact that they, you know, their relationship seemed to have, you know, taken a real quick progression. So, mm-hmm. He's had the same thing happened with his past, girlfriends, with Olivia Munn and with Danica Patrick. I mean, you had the same kind of thing with both of those. Everybody kind of ragging on them for various different things. So, but yeah, there are those select few people who are complaining about that, but try not to give them more than a couple of brain cells worth of thought and just move on.
Yeah, you know, it always becomes
you know, a factor. If those two things kind of coincide, then you right. got to blame the woman. That's the new you know, the turd in the punch bowl, if you will. That you know, she comes along, and all of a sudden there's trouble in paradise, and Rodgers wants out of town. But even before anybody knew about the two of them seeing each other or them being in any kind of relationship, that weird press conference that Rodgers gave after the NFC championship game about how, you know, even his status is uncertain going into the offseason, and even though he's under contract for like 3 or 4 years or whatever it is, everyone's like, what the hell is he talking about? He's under contract to like 2025. Why is he talking about how his status might be uncertain along with everybody else's? Like, you're Aaron Rodgers, dude. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, especially after coming off an MVP season the way he did. And yeah, it just, I didn't really understand where he was coming from there either. So, but clearly he's concerned about something. And, you know, he plays the media game as well as everybody, just really only, you know, only saying a couple things here and there. I guess we'll see if he says anything in interviews around that big golf match that he's got with Tom Brady and those and those guys in a week or two. But I don't know. I'm not expecting to hear anything. I mean, the big date is going to be July 27th when everybody reports to camp. So we'll see if he shows up or not. And, you know, personally, I don't think we'll really know anything until then.
Yeah, and actually we're recording this on July the 1st. And the first hurdle to clear before we get to the 27th is actually tomorrow, because I've read a few things that says, you know, Rodgers has the chance to opt out of 2021, you know, kind of like players did last year for COVID in 2020 and and things like that. That's an opportunity he has, and he would have leverage because he wouldn't have to give back any of the money. It's kind of a no questions asked type situation. If he continues to hold out, the team can fine him for not coming into camp and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sometime tomorrow afternoon is the cutoff time for the opt-out. So by the time this finally does, you know, drop and everyone gets to hear it, that decision is going to be made. And I don't think he's going to opt out. You don't think he's going to opt out, but it's a possibility. And I'm sure it's got some people kind of shook about he might actually just sit out and not play for anybody in 2021, instead of trying to force a trade to go elsewhere. He might just sit at home and watch this year. I mean, that is a possibility, not a strong one, but it's out there.
Yeah, it's a crazy idea, and you know, I imagine it'll be, you know, it's one of those deadline spurring action kind of thing. So who knows what conversations he's had with the team, if it's something that he's considering or not. And yeah, we'll find out. And like you said, by the time this goes live, we'll know. But I would be very surprised if he goes that route, though.
Yeah, I think I would lose a little bit of respect for him if he did, to just take his ball and go home like that. So you know, as a football fan, I don't want him to sit out. As a Bears fan, you know, tell you the truth, I mean, it's a 6-1 and half a dozen in the other kind of thing. You know, it won't feel real if we don't beat Rodgers. You know, it's like beating the Packers is one thing, beating them with Rodgers is something else entirely. You know, it says a lot more about the team if we beat the Packers with Aaron Rodgers instead of taking advantage of a Rodgerless Packer team. You know, because he not only is he one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best in the league right now, he carries a lot of weight with him. Like, his absence is felt throughout the entire team. It's like you almost see the team lose a step when he's not out there. So it's like, as much as you know, Rodgers not being there would kind of level the playing field in a division, it would be anybody's division to take this year if he does sit out. You know, personally, I would prefer that he is there, because beating him would say a lot more than beating the team without him.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know, we still don't really know what we have in Jordan Love. We didn't get to see him play in any preseason games last year. Plus, training camp was all completely locked down, so there was no real ability to judge him from training camp. So really the first time anybody got a look at him in a Packers uniform was during OTAs and minicamp this spring.
Right.
And I mean, predictably, he was inconsistent. He did have a couple of really nice days. There was one day in particular in minicamp that it sounded like he was just hitting everything, and it was all over the field. It was short, it was long, it was in, you know, to the sideline, it was in the middle of the field. But then that came after a day that, you know, he completed probably less than half of his passes, you know, basically doing 7-on-7 drills. And so, I mean, he's a young quarterback and he's going to go through growing pains. But, you know, it's really tough to have any idea how he's going to respond on the field. And I think regardless of whether or not Rodgers comes back, certainly those preseason reps for Love are going to be really important this year, because it'll be the, you know, his first chance to actually show what he can do in a Packers uniform.
Yeah. So we you know, last year they start out 4-0. They run into Tampa Bay, and, you know, Tampa Bay kind of cracked the code on how to beat the Packers, or how to, you know, pressure Rodgers for that first loss of the season. And then after that, you went, like, you know, 11-2 after that, just went through the rest of it, won like 6 or 7 in a row at the end of the season, including beating the Bears twice. Thanks so much for that, by the way. You know, you get past the divisional round with a nice win over the Rams. I didn't think it would be that easy to beat the Rams, especially with the defense they had last year. But then Brady comes into town, and that NFC Championship game, that was really something, you know. And it all turned on that that last touchdown right before halftime. That's where it really always kind of seemed to fall apart for Green Bay. I mean, the game was far from over, but that was definitely one of the deciding moments in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that whole sequence from an interception that Rodgers throws over the middle of the field when Sean Murphy bunting has a full handful of jersey, and yeah, very clearly, right, by, you know, any Packers fans, to any Packers fans, I should have gotten called for holding or pass interference. Instead, they keep their flags in their pocket and he gets an interception. Then two plays later, Will Redmond drops a easy pick that falls into his hands up along the sideline, that would have given the Packers the ball back, you know, down 4, basically going to halftime. And then two plays later, they hit the big one over Kevin King to Scotty Miller, and it, you know, it just all unravels from there. So, yeah, it was absolutely a good competitive game early. And the Bucs did a lot of what they did in that that regular season matchup. They got pressure on Rodgers with 4. One of the biggest challenges was that, I mean, the Packers had no David Bakhtiari in that game, in the playoff game. So that was a killer against the Bucs' really good edge rushers. But they were finding ways to work around that and at least get a little bit of you know, production out of the offense. But yeah, that play, you know, late in the first half, and then, you know, the first or second play of the second half, coming out and fumbling and the Bucs taking it straight in for a touchdown. I mean, that was when, you know, it really felt like it was over. And it was encouraging, at least, to see the team fight back and give themselves a chance to get back in it, because, you know, that they obviously had the field goal call from the, you know, 4th and goal at the 8-yard line or whatever it is. And that's one that, you know, that will go down in Matt LaFleur's judgment column, you know, one way or the other. Everybody's kind of got their opinions on what they think about that, because no matter what, you've got to get the stop, right?
Yeah.
If you go for it and get the touchdown and then get the 2-point conversion, you got to get the stop. You don't get the 2-point conversion, you got to get the stop. Like, no matter what, you got to get a stop somehow. So I understand why he kicked the field goal. I still don't necessarily think it was the right call.
Right.
And obviously Rodgers didn't think it was the right call. if anybody watched Jeopardy, the one trolling him about that was pretty, even I got to acknowledge that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
it's a pretty genius move by the contestant.
Yeah, that was pretty great. But it's so painful now again to that's 4 out of the last 7 or 8 years that the Packers have been in the NFC Championship game. The first time they've hosted one since 2007. Four in a row that they've dropped, and all pretty, except for that Seattle game, all of them, you know, they got down in a pretty big hole early and didn't really, you know, didn't really come back until, you know, this last game against Tampa. So the fact that they showed some fight and were able to claw back into that game was good to see, but you still got to get the job done. And they just spotted Tampa with too much. But I think based on what we saw in the Super Bowl, I think if the Packers make the Super Bowl, you know, if they get by Tampa, they probably beat the Chiefs the way that game went. But, you know, what are you going to do?
There's always next year, man. There's always next year. So, you know, I mean, it was, I was intrigued by the way that it all went down. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers and you take the ball out of his hands. I think that was the most surprising situation or the most surprising thing about going for the field goal instead of going for it on 4th and 8. Yeah, it's a risk, but it's the NFC Championship game, and you have the guy that you want to have the ball in his hands pretty much more than anybody else in the league. I mean, the only other guy you could probably want there instead of him was the guy on the other sideline. You know, he's as clutch as they come. He's as accurate as all get out, and you're going to take the ball out of his hand and kick a field goal and put your defense on the field, the defense that was kind of, you know, struggling throughout the day. You're going to put the ball in their hands instead of who was literally the best player in the league that year. I think that's where it all kind of fell apart, and where, you know, LaFleur didn't have much of a leg to stand on in the press, like, you know, facing the firing squad of the press after the game. It's kind of hard to justify that move. I mean, you can reason it all you want, but the outcome is you took the ball out of Rodgers' hands and you lost the game. So, you know, it's tough.
All I can think of is that he was influenced by seeing the offense bogged down inside the red zone a couple times earlier in that game. They had one sequence, I think, from the 6-yard line in the first half when Rodgers tried to throw 3 straight passes to Adams and all 3 of them went incomplete and they had to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And then that same, you know, that drive, they, again, it was 1st and goal from the 8. An incomplete pass to Lazard, then two incompletes to Adams again. And so I do wonder if, you know, maybe LaFleur saw something where he felt like Rodgers was forcing something. Because, I mean, you got 5 out of those 6 pass attempts to Adams, all of them going incomplete. You know, maybe that influenced his thought process that, and he did even say that, you know, if they had picked up 4 or 5 yards, gotten inside like the 5-yard line, he would have left his offense on the field. But just sticking out at the 8-yard line was part of the thought process. So sure. I don't know, you know, we can and have second guessed that whole sequence. You know, all off season, right?
I mean, that's the thing.
It's gonna be brutal, right? If Rodgers Packers career does end without him getting the football to give the Packers a chance to tie the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's better, worse, or the same as, you know, Favre's last pass as a Packer getting picked off in overtime against the Giants. But if that's how it ends, that's gonna hurt a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing about getting that, going that deep into the playoffs, and then essentially getting that close when it doesn't go in your favor, you're gonna second guess yourself until they put you in the ground. You know, exactly. It's just that's one of those things, and especially if things don't work out and Rodgers does go elsewhere or he does sit out or whatever it's going to be, it's. There's going to be that what if, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff for all time, you know, if things go sideways here or stay sideways, I guess you could say. Yep. But, you know, so, you know, the championship game doesn't work out, and somehow, you know, I always said, you know, let Brady come to the NFC. He won't be able to do it year in and year out in the NFC. Year one, he wins the NFC, goes to Super Bowl, wins it again. I'm like, oh, well, that's the end of that conversation, because, you know, I've been saying it, you know, the parody-less AFC, it's him and the Steelers and the Broncos and the Colts every year. You know, it's basically them and against the field. And come over to the AFC, where in 20 seasons they've sent 13 or 14 different teams to the Super Bowl and see if you can pull it off. I'm like, okay, year one, I'll go with Tampa Bay of all teams, and I'll go back and I'll win the whole thing. I'm like, okay, well, there goes my argument that you're not the greatest of all time anymore. You are. So I can't argue against, and I'll never even try, you know, never mind the, you know, the amount of rings that he has or anything like that. It's just, you know, he went ahead, he's done it on both sides. So I'm done. I'm done. You know, anyway, so looking forward to 2021 now. They're, you know, kind of looking at this through two different lenses. There's with Rodgers and without, but you know, before we get to that, the, you know, it looks like a typical Packer free agent signing, you know, period, for you guys there. I found two names on the list. And I don't think either one, well, I know for a fact, one of them's not a starter, but, Devondre Campbell from the Cardinals, a linebacker, and then Blake Bortles, the quarterback from the Rams, is the, what the I found.
Meme, yeah.
Yeah. To be though, that's your free agent haul for 2021. So it seems like, I mean, is that thanks to the COVID salary cap, or is Gutekunst taking a page out of the old book from, you know, from Ron Wolf and those guys?
Well, yeah, the salary cap crunch is a huge part of it. And if you talk to Gutekunst and anybody in the organization, you know, they'll talk about retaining Aaron Jones being, you know, their big free agent play this year, mm-hmm. because he did get a nice new contract, nice 4-year deal. They structured it such that his cap hits this year and next year are really low in the 2 years when we're expecting that, you know, the cap to stay low because of the COVID crunch. So him sticking around was a great thing. I mean, he's been a huge part of this offense the last 4 years, especially the last two with Matt LaFleur really leaning on him as the number one guy. I think a lot of Packers fans assumed that he was gone by the drafting of AJ Dillon in the first or in the second round last year, and just the financial situation that Green Bay had. But yeah, for them to it was nice for them to find a way to bring him back. They were able to get Kevin King back, which, depending on which Packers fan you talk to, is either, you know, losing him might have been addition by subtraction.
Sure.
But, you know, he's still at least capable of good play. Whether or not he can put it together is a different story. But, you know, so you've got those two additions. But yeah, Campbell is the one name to note as far as outside additions. I do think he'll be probably in the starting lineup at one of those two inside linebacker spots. Okay. From day one, probably alongside one of the rookies from last year, either Kamal Martin, the fifth round pick, or Chris Barnes, the undrafted guy. But and I think that kind of goes along with the letting go of Mike Pettine and the acquisition of Joe Barry as the new defensive coordinator too. Yeah. He really puts his schemes or the defenses that he's worked for have done a good job with getting good linebacker play out of not necessarily awesome talent at the linebacker position. So we'll see where that goes. But Campbell's he's a big, long, fast guy, toolsy guy, and they seem to like him in coverage, even though his coverage numbers aren't very good throughout his career. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, in general, it was your typical Packers offseason. Keep a couple of your guys, see a couple of them walk, try to, you know, plug the holes that open up with the draft, and kind of see where it goes from there.
Yeah, because that was the thing. It's like I've got two names on as far as like coming in, and then I've got nine going out. Yep. Corey Linsley, Christian Kirksey, Lane Taylor, Jamal Williams stayed in division with the Lions. That should be interesting, but it's, you know, then you got Montrevious Adam, Perry Nickerson, Tim Boyle, Raven Green, you know, but it's like Lane Taylor, Christian Kirksey, Corey Linsley, and then Jamal Williams. Those are subtractions, you know. Those are guys that saw playing time and, you know, were starters for you guys last year.
Yeah, I mean, Linsley was the all-pro center on the all-pro team last year. So losing him was absolutely a huge blow. But there was no chance that the Packers were ever going to be able to keep both him and Jones for this year. And fundamentally, Linsley just priced himself out. He played so well last year and really the last couple of years. that there was just really no way that the Packers were going to be able to afford to keep him around. And the other thing with the Packers is when it comes to offensive linemen, they always tend to let the guys walk just a little bit on the early side. They did it with Brian Bulaga last year. He went to the Chargers too. Then again, Bulaga was hurt most of last year again.
Right.
So that one you can argue they made the right call on. Lindsley is, I think, just turned 30. So Packers generally don't like to give big long-term contracts to offensive linemen after their 30th birthday. And so, I wish him well. He's been a great player for this team. And, he's been a great guy in the locker room. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when they move on, and it'll be interesting to see what the battle looks like across the offensive line filling in for him, especially because it looks like there's a rookie probably going to be getting that job from day one.
Yeah, speaking of which, we can go into the draft, the Packers, because of their finish. We're picking 29th, so in the bottom half or the bottom quarter. Of the first round, number 29 overall, they take Eric Stokes, a corner out of Georgia. And in the second round, the rookie you were talking about, Josh Myers, the center from Ohio State, who used to snap the ball to my new quarterback. And yep. I don't know if you saw the clip. I believe it was his quarterback coach that asked him who his center was in college. And he's like, Josh Myers. He's like, yeah, did he get drafted? He's like, yeah, by the wrong team. And he's like, which team is that? He's like, the Packers. It's like, so that endeared him to a lot of Bear fans, although I'm sure he didn't know he was being listened to. I don't know if he was mic'd or if the coach was, but either way, that clip got out there and the Bear fans were like, yep, he gets it. So we love him. And, but it's like Josh Myers, second round pick, Ohio State. You say he's a strong candidate to probably take over the spot.
Yeah, throughout all of OTAs and minicamp, he was playing center with the first team offensive line. So it certainly seems like they like him enough to give him every opportunity to win the starting center job from day one, which is really interesting because the Packers have a lot of interior linemen with a lot of versatility. And so I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a little more of like Lucas Patrick or even Elton Jenkins playing a little bit more center with that first team line to try to get these guys some reps. But I'm hoping that that's just a case of, Myers looks so good right out of the gate that it looks like he's ready to just grab that center job and run with it and keep some of these other guys that they're the positions that they're already familiar with. And I mean, Jenkins was, an all pro caliber guard last year. He's got the ability to move out and play a little tackle, which the Packers might need depending on Bakhtiari's injury, if he's back for week one. But really that offensive line up and down is going to be a really fascinating group to watch in training camp because they've got a ton of guys. You've got a couple of guys penciled in as starters, but you've probably got two jobs open for for day one. Again, with Bakhtiari probably missing a couple of games to start with the ACL. So you figure you got maybe two starting jobs open to win in training camp, and they've got like 10 or 12 guys for maybe 8 or 9 spots. And it's just going to be really interesting to see what happens with the depth as well. Because in addition to Myers, they draft another two offensive linemen in the third day of the draft. Fourth rounder Royce Newman out of Mississippi, who they seem to already like at right tackle and a little bit of guard. And then the Wisconsin guy, Cole Van Lannen, from literally just up the road from Lambeau at just outside of Green Bay. So it'll be very interesting to see which of those guys get a job. John Runyon from last year, they really like, and he might be a candidate to start on the inside as well at guard. So that's probably, aside from, the quarterback drama on the field, I think the offensive line is one of the more interesting position groups to watch in training camp this year.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by the Spotify Green Room. Formerly known as the Locker Room app, guys, Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Start or join ongoing conversations. Watch games together. React to the biggest news, rumors, and games. And, of course, I host a weekly show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room. The Bears Talk Underground presents Club 34/7. Be sure and join me. Come through and talk with me live. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join into the group. Follow me to be notified when my room goes live. And, of course, every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, is when Club 34/7 hits the air. So be sure to join in on the fun, guys. You don't want to miss it. And be sure to follow me on the app so that you'll know anytime that I go live, because we'll be doing watch parties during the preseason. We'll be doing knee-jerk reactions during halftime, during the season, and things like that. Lots to do. This app opens up so many possibilities for interaction between me and you, my loyal audience. So be sure and download the Spotify Green Room app wherever you get your apps.
Yeah, it's the offensive line. It's been a great strength for the Packers. They just seem to be able to plug guys in, and you know, they seem to, you know, whoever's doing the scouting or God forbid the coaching has done an outstanding job with those guys, because Bakhtiari was not a first round pick. I think he was a fourth or a fifth round pick. You know, I mean, the Packers have taken some swings on some first round guys, but they seem to have more success with the later round guys and things like that. It's just, you know, a guy finds his niche in the league, and, you know, the circumstances and where you go do actually have a big factor in how your career turns out. I mean, you may have gone to, you know, Butthole University or whatever, but you just happen to land in the right spot with the Packers, or with this place is going to give you an opportunity, and what they do works to your strengths. And the next thing you know, you're making Pro Bowls and you're a millionaire, kind of thing. So, you know, Bakhtiari goes from fourth round pick to the highest paid tackle, in football, making what quarterbacks made a few years ago before their salaries got crazy. And things like that. So, you know, it's interesting watching the, you know, what the Packers will do. And I'm sure that with the track record that they've had, you Packer fans aren't too worried about how it's going to turn out, because it seems like whoever you do put out there plays well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the hope obviously is that Bakhtiari comes back early, but, there's certainly enough talent on that line to hold down the fort until he gets back. And you mentioned the coaching. I think Adam Stenovich, the O-line coach, and Luke Butkus. Yes, that
Butkus, yeah.
As the assistant O-line coach, have really done a great job in the last 2 years of getting these guys ready and moving guys around a ton too. That's been one of the biggest challenges, is they have had a few injuries here and there these last two seasons, and have moved guys around. Billy Turner's played four different positions, I think. Jenkins played three or four different positions last year. And I think the only reason Jenkins didn't make an all-pro team is because he got votes at both center and at guard or something ridiculous like that. So, yeah, there's lots of talent there. And, yeah, it's just kind of they always preach the motto of putting the best five out there. It'll just be really interesting to see what that best five is in week one.
Before we move on from the draft, talk to me about the first round pick. I mean, there was a big, you know, how do you do made last year about, you know, not only because the Packers took Jordan Love, you know, they traded up to get him, the whole nine yards. It was one of the bigger, you know, or deeper wide receiver classes last year. This year seemed to be like it was better than last year's, and still they go with a corner instead of, there were actually some pretty good receivers still left on the board when the Packers were picking at 29, and still, you know, they don't go for another first round receiver. I think somebody mentioned, you know, how long it's been since the Packers took a receiver on day one or whatever. And, you know, they go with the corner instead of the wide receivers. Like, what was the thinking there? 'Cause I don't think corner is a concern for you guys. Is it?
Yeah, there is long-term depth concern at corner for sure. Okay. Jaire Alexander obviously is tremendous, but yeah. You know, I mentioned Kevin King coming back. I mean, he's only back on a 1-year deal, and I think Stokes gives the Packers a real bona fide candidate to be, you know, a bookend corner opposite Alexander, especially if, you know, he's got a little bit of a 1 year window to learn and kind of come into the starting lineup, transition in with King still there. So that was definitely a position that Packers fans had our eyes on. As far as the receiver class, I think a little bit of the same thing happened this year that happened last year, in that the guys that the Packers really liked as round one guys got taken shortly before the Packers were on the clock. And specifically I'm referring to Minnesota's Rashad Bateman, who went to Baltimore at 27. I think he was the guy that, if he was there at 29, I think the Packers take him and are ecstatic about it. And I don't know that I necessarily think it changes anything in regards to Rodgers, but I think Bateman is absolutely that, that type of guy who can be an all-around receiver, you know, be a wide receiver two or three as a rookie, and then, you know, even develop into a, you know, a 1A or a 1B to Davante Adams 1A down the road. But yeah, with him going off the board a couple picks earlier, I think it was probably, again, a case of they weren't really crazy about the value at the other receivers at 29. And it sounds like they were really high on Stokes too. He's a real fast player, and I think he's also pretty new to the position at corner. And the Packers have always had success with guys who are kind of recent converts to the corner position, kind of taking their raw talent and molding it a little bit. I think back to Sam Shields, you know, the around 2010 for an example of that. So they did finally get a receiver in the third round, which is the first time in God knows how long since they've even taken one in the first three rounds, I think since like 2015. So it's just the Amari Rodgers pick surprised all of us, because the Packers have been so focused seemingly on the big body outside receivers. Alan Lazard is that way. Marcus Valdes-Scantling is the big, tall, lean, fast guy. And so they've focused so heavily on these big guys, then to have a 5'9" receiver who projects as a slot guy was kind of a shock. So I think it'd be really interesting to see how they work him in. He's got some special teams ability. I think you'll see him on some jet sweeps. But he might be short, but he's not small. I think he's 5'9" and like 212 pounds or something like that. So he's built like a running back, mm-hmm. and he's got a little bit of that running back ability to break some tackles. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they work that type of player into the offense for Matt LaFleur, considering he hasn't had that more prototypical slot receiver type on this Packers offense in the last couple of years.
So we move on to the schedule, and because it's Green Bay, that's littered with the national TV appearances. And when I was looking at it yesterday, seeing a lot of 3 o'clock starts, 4 o'clock, you know, for you in the East Coast or the Eastern time zone anyway, a lot of 4 o'clock starts and things like that. I think going to Chicago like week six is like a rare exception that you're playing at noon, as opposed to pretty much every other thing is the national game of the week on Fox, whoever they just happen to be playing. But you start on the road at New Orleans, and then home for Monday Night Football with the Lions. Then Sunday Night Football after that, on the road at San Francisco, home for Pittsburgh at Cincinnati in the first 5 weeks. So it's an interesting, you know, start to the season, because having already spoken to everyone in the AFC North, the opinion of the Steelers right now is not high, except for obviously the Steeler fan. And the 49ers may or may not be the team that they were in 2019 now that they're healthy and back again and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The whole Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo drama, I'm interested to see how that's going to be playing out, or if it has already played out by week three when they see you guys. The Lions with Jared Goff and, you know, this new attitude that Dan Campbell at head coach brings in. Drew Brees not with the Saints anymore, you know, and, you know, obviously the Bengals are the Bengals. So in that 5 weeks, you're either going to steamroll through it, you know, just looking at what each team doesn't have compared to what they probably did a year ago, or, you know, maybe the 49ers give you guys a game, maybe the Steelers are still the Steelers and whatnot. It's an interesting opening section to the schedule.
Yeah, definitely. You know, only having one divisional game in those first five is also kind of interesting too. But you know, the Packers have not had great success in New Orleans up until that big win last year in week three.
Yeah.
So regardless of, again, who's quarterbacking there, that's going to be a tough game. But yeah, that's going to be an early, getting off to an early start, I think, is going to be important, because there's a section kind of leading into the bye week where you've got some really tough competition, you know, in the middle part of the schedule, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers really need to jump out to a good start. 4-1 in that first five, I think, is what they would like to get to, based on those matchups before they run into that first game against Chicago in week six.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough schedule either way, because obviously your schedule is pretty much the same as ours as far as who you're playing, and things like that. It's like all but like two or three teams our schedules are identical. You've got the AFC North and the NFC West, same as we do. And the NFC West sent two teams to the playoffs last year. Arizona could have been a third, and the team that finished in fourth place was the defending NFC champion that was ravaged by injuries last year. So who knows how that division is going to turn out. I mean, maybe they just beat the hell out of each other and cancel themselves out, or, you know, they become a strong division and or stay the strong. You know, I think they have the best division of football right now. The AFC North, on the other hand, sent three teams to the playoffs last year. And, you know, the Bengals with Joe Burrow, you know, were kind of peaking at the time that he got hurt. But, you know, early on, you know, like week 10, week 11, they were really kind of hitting their stride offensively. And then he goes down. It's interesting to see. It's not an easy schedule. There are some patches here and there. But for the most part, you know, neither team, the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions, don't really get much of a break this year, because we have two of the tougher divisions in football on our schedule. So, you know, after the first 5 weeks, you're at Chicago, home for Washington, who, out of all the teams in the playoffs, no disrespect to Green Bay, gave Tampa the toughest game in the playoffs last year, which was very surprising. I mean, I don't know if that was a home field advantage type of thing, but it was, you know, they did not go quietly for being a team that had a losing record going into the playoffs and everything. And
I will say on Washington, I do think their defense is legit.
Yeah, for sure.
That is a really, really good defense that they've built there. So if, you know, adding Curtis Samuel to Terry McLaurin and getting Brian Fitzpatrick in there, I think that was those were some good moves that they made to shore up that offense a little bit to you know, put just enough points on the board to help support that defense. So
yeah,
that's not a gimme at any point either.
Right. And you know, then at Arizona, Kyler Murray and you know, the talents that they have out there, you know, they got AJ Green, they add that to DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk out there. It's that's going to be interesting. Not to mention J.J. Watt on one side, Chandler Jones on the other. That's going to be a tough day too. Then at Kansas City. Oh, excuse me, Arizona. That's the Thursday night game. So after you get done hardly licking your wounds from the Redskins in that game. Oh, excuse me, the football team, the Washington football team. Yeah, or whatever they're going to call themselves. Apparently, they have to wait until next year to give themselves a brand new name. So we're still waiting to find out what that is. Quick turnaround, Thursday night football at Arizona. So not only is it a Thursday night game, but you got to go on the road for it as well. And then at Kansas City, after that, that's going to be a tough. And that's just a regular day game. I was very surprised to see that didn't end up on national TV. Maybe it'll be one of those late afternoon national TV type games, but
and I think that's what happened there.
Yeah.
I think Fox wanted to claim that one as their, you know, one of their games that they absolutely wanted to lock in. So I think that's where that one went.
Sure. And then you're home for Seattle, at Minnesota, home for the Rams before week 13, which I believe is the latest that you can have a bye week, which is the inverse of last year where you had the earliest bye in week 5 last year. So you're flipping the script this year. But Chicago, Washington, Arizona, Kansas City, Seattle, Minnesota, Los Angeles before the bye. It's like
that's
I said,
a gauntlet.
Yeah, it's a gauntlet, and it doesn't get any easier after the bye. You get the Bears on Sunday Night Football after the bye. You're at Baltimore, home for the Browns on Christmas Day. That sounds fun. And then, fun, yeah, yeah, Minnesota at home. And then, stop me if you've heard this before. You're finishing the season against the Lions.
In Detroit, no less.
Yeah, in Detroit.
This is a shocker. Yep.
I was like, why do they keep doing that? Why?
I don't know.
You know?
It drives me nuts. I think this is 5 out of the last 6 years, I think,
at least,
the Packers have finished with Detroit.
At least, man, because we're going back to Minnesota. And the other thing is, we're not flipping, you know, like, oh, Minnesota will be coming to Chicago. Or anything. Right. No. We're going to
Always
Minnesota.
In the dome.
Always in the dome. Last game of the season. And Chris Gates from the Daily Norseman pointed out to me last year that, you know, maybe the Bears weren't their Week 17 matchup last year, but Minnesota was on the road the last 2 weeks of the season, so we were their last home game last year. So the NFL found a way to make that a thing for the Vikings again last year. So we didn't finish out the year out there, but we were their last home game of the season, and now we will be again, you know, like you said, 5 times in the last 6 years, or like 6 out of the last 8 at least, something like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Ever since Goodell decided that week 17, now week 18, should be a divisional matchup, these two matchups have been pretty much locked in, you know, that pretty much that entire time, which is kind of boring.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's one where they should have that as part of a 3-year rotational schedule.
Agreed.
They, you know, work that into the schedule calculations and have it start rotating as to, you know, who's playing where at which stadiums. Because I'd love to, you know, even if we have to play Detroit, like, give us a game at Lambeau in week 17. I think only one of those 5 or 6 games in the last 8 years have been at Lambeau. So I feel your pain there.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, you have these two classic stadiums, Chicago, and, you know, you got Lambeau and Soldier Field. You know, it's that time of year where the elements are a thing, you know, whether it's the cold or the cold and the snow and all that kind of stuff. And then you send both of those teams on the road to dome teams to just kind of cancel all of that out, just kind of like take the fun out of football that time of the year. So just that's also kind of one of the other things that's frustrating, other than the fact that we just keep saying the same teams year in and year out at the end of our schedule. But before we got sidetracked with that gripe, you know, Chicago, Baltimore, Cleveland, home from Minnesota at Detroit, you know, again, it's not an easy schedule, not for you, not for us, not for anybody in the division. There really are no breaks in the schedule this year.
Yeah, I mean, I had looked at it right after the schedule came out, and Packers play, I think, 10 games against teams that were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I think 8 of them won their division and 2 wild cards. And, you know, a couple of the teams that didn't make the playoffs that the Packers play are Arizona, who was in the running and is still really good. You mentioned San Francisco, and then 2 games against the Vikings. So there literally is no off week this year for Green Bay or really for anybody in the NFC North.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Bears' schedule now. We got the Rams. That's 1 playoff team. Cleveland, that's 2. Green Bay, 3. Tampa Bay, 4. Pittsburgh, 5. Baltimore, 6. Arizona, 6.5. Green Bay again, 7.5. You know, Minnesota, Seattle, 8. And, you know, so that's 8, and that's just us. Yep. And we also, like you said, have the 49ers on the schedule and, you know, and things like that. So it's just, you know, even for a team that was 8-8 last year and is looking to try to bounce back and whatnot, the schedule just might not allow it this year.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's going to be a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah. And this extra game, how are you feeling about that?
I always really loved the elegance and the simplicity of the schedule rotation that the NFL had since going to 32 teams, 8 divisions, and the 16-game schedule. It was perfect, right? You had your 6 divisional games. You had 1 full division from your conference, 1 full division from out of conference, and then the other 2 games rotated between, you know, the other divisions with the teams that finished in the same spot. It was predictable. It was clean. It gave just a little bit of added challenge to division winners, but not so much to really overly penalize them. And I loved it. And I just, it seems It seems unnecessary to me. I like the elegance of the patterns, and so that was nice to have in the past. But I get it. You know, they want to add an extra week onto the regular season, get all that extra TV money from from having an 18th week of the regular season instead of a fourth week of the preseason. So I get it, but it's just. I'm just not crazy about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent to it. I wasn't excited about it. I'm not, against it. You know, as a football fan, it's hey, more football and whatnot. But it just is like overall, like you, I also have OCD, so the patterns and things like that, relax me, if you will, being able to figure out who the, knowing right now, it's like let's see, we played the. We play the NFC West this year, so next year it should be the East, the NFC East again, that we play or something like that, or it's either the East or the South, one of the two. Yeah. So,
and I mean, I guess we still get that rotation.
Yeah,
adding this extra kind of weird game with an off rotation with the other conference, it just. I don't know. It just kind of muddies it up a little bit.
There's all kinds of rotations going on with that one game. It's you're rotating between the divisions in the AFC. It's whoever finishes in the same place as you, but also what's rotating is the home and away aspect of it as well. So we're at the AFC West this year, whoever the same place finisher for was, and you guys lucked out. It was Kansas City. Congratulations.
Yeah, joy.
Yeah, and you're at Kansas City, probably one of the only other places outside of like Seattle and Lambeau that people fear to go to. So you get to go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs. So that should be fun. And, and so next year we're at home against whatever division, I guess, falls in the way. Would it be the AFC East or, whatever. We play the AFC East next year.
I think it's the South next year.
Yeah, so maybe it's the South. But so we're home against the same place finisher against the South and then on the road against the I don't know. So, that's the kind of thing where they're just being a little too fancy with it, I guess. And, so I was like, okay, 17th game or whatever, but like you, it's an odd number. It doesn't, sit even, and you can't divide the season up into quarters anymore.
Yep.
The first 4 weeks, second 4 weeks, so on and so forth. You got to throw the fifth week in there somewhere to kind of break it up proper and things like that. So, I'm not 100% on board with it, but we get an extra game, so there you go.
Yep.
But, I look at the schedule and we talked about there's not a lot of easy games in it. It's like, I hate to say, but you got Cincinnati and the Bears back to back because of your luck over Chicago. That's probably your softest part of the schedule all year is those two games back to back like that. So, because Minnesota has always been a tough out in Lambeau. Like, I don't know what it is about those Packer-Viking games in Lambeau Field that, you guys barely beat Minnesota last year, Dalvin Cook goes bananas and just runs all over you guys. That's not a gimme game for you guys at all. And, it's one of the tougher games in the division. That there is. I mean, it's going to be tough for LaFleur to keep that very high winning percentage of his intact this year.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's just going to make it that much more difficult if Jordan Love is under center. So we'll see.
I said my piece about that, as a Bears fan. It'd be great if Rodgers was gone, because that would level the playing field and pretty much open the entire race up to anybody. It's like whoever wants it, go get it, whether it's Green Bay repeating without Rodgers or everyone else, making a play for it. Hell, it might be enough motivation for the division to get really interesting this year. But it's like I think it would still kind of be bittersweet without Rodgers there to win the division without him there and things like that. I think it would be obviously it'd be a much bigger accomplishment to win the division if Rodgers was playing. So, you know, I would prefer that he's there, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
For very different reasons.
Yes, you'd like the MVP and the best player in football to be quarterbacking your team as opposed to the quote-unquote excitement of the NFC North without Aaron Rodgers. So, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I think tomorrow's deadline for the opt-out will be much ado about nothing. And then, like you said, it'll all be about, you know, biting your fingernails to see if he reports on the 27th. I mean, it's not the same thing, but Bear fans are kind of wondering if Eddie Goldman's going to show up to training camp, because he skipped the mandatory workouts and all that kind of stuff. And he's been dead quiet about his intentions and if he's going to be there, or sorry, guys, relax, I was just working out privately, or anything like that. He released a video where he is working out and he is wearing Bears gear. So that's a reason for optimism. But until he actually shows up, you know, he hasn't shown any indication that he's coming back, other than, you know, some literally like 12-second video of him, you know, doing what are they called? Deadlifts. You know, he did a couple of deadlifts wearing a pair of Bears shorts, and like, okay, so he hasn't thrown the clothes out. You know, he still, you know, still considers himself a Bear, I guess. But until he walks through the doors of Halas Hall on the 31st, when the Bears report, you know, it's he's not there yet, kind of thing. So, I mean, it's not on the same level, but, you know, we have a guy that we're worried about as well. So we'll see what all shakes out. But when you look at the schedule, did you play with wins and losses? What were you looking at if you were playing that game this early on in the process?
There's just so much unknown that it's so tough to try to project.
Yeah.
You know, you'd love to. Well, and again, now that you've got an odd number, it's going to be weird seeing records like 11-6 and 12-5 or something like that. But
yeah,
I mean, you figure with this division, with this schedule, I mean, there's a good chance that 11 wins the division.
Sure.
I really believe that with everything we've talked about. So I think that's got to be the goal. If you can, you know, if you can find a way to 12 or 13 wins, that's great. But you know, we saw so much of the NFL, and especially with the one playoff or one team getting a playoff bye now, is just, you know, who's hot at the end of the season and who figures it out late. And obviously Tampa did that last year.
Yeah.
You know, Packers looked like they were in good shape, but, you know, had the Bakhtiari injury really hurt late, and that kind of threw things all for a loop. So, if you can get to double digits, give yourself a chance. I think that's the goal. And I think if Rodgers is around, I think that's, you know, the Packers are still probably prohibitive favorites in the division. And
sure,
you're looking at maybe like a 12-5 season, but the drop off to Jordan Love is surely going to be significant. How significant, you know, we'll just have to see, I guess, if we have to go down that road.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, there's so many unknowns. It's like, what's New Orleans going to be like without Drew Brees? Is San Francisco going to be able to bounce back from the Super Bowl loser curse that, you know, really bit them in the ass last year? You know, is everyone right about the Steelers and them not being a contender in the division this year? Ben Roethlisberger stayed 1 year too long and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what are the Bengals going to look like in year two? And, you know, can they figure out the thing for Burrow and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, I think the most interesting question out of those first six games, who's the quarterback going to be when you come to Chicago to play the Bears? You know, it's like on both sides, quite frankly. I mean, is it going to be Jordan Love versus Andy Dalton, or Jordan Love versus Justin Fields, or, you know, or what have you? You know, it's been an interesting roller coaster for me as far as Justin Fields goes, because, of course, the day he was drafted, it's, let's go the Pat Mahomes route. I don't care if we see him play one snap in 2021. Let's protect this kid. Let him learn, because once the job is his, it's his until the wheels fall off. I mean, that's when you take a guy that, you know, you trade up to get him and all that kind of stuff, that's all it is, you know. So Andy Dalton could make one mistake and boom, he's off the bench, and then Justin Field will make a million mistakes before they replace him. That's just how it's going to work out. You know, that was me. That's the camp that I belonged to right after we drafted him. Then I started doing these interviews, and literally everyone that I've spoken to about Justin Fields and all that kind of stuff, their excitement to see him play has turned me to the dark side. You know, right now I'm like, if, you know, I'll be the one in that first preseason game against the Dolphins. If Andy Dalton skips ones off the ground, get him out of there. That's it. Get him out. To hell with this. Let the kid go out there. Let him learn on the fly. He can learn and play at the same time. You know, I've fallen into that category. I want to see him play as soon as possible. You know, if he's the future, let the future be now. Let's go. This is not Mitch Trubisky. We're in much better hands this time around with Justin Fields, and we have a better team around him than Trubisky, God bless him, started with when he joined back in 2017. So, you know, the sooner he can play, the better. For me, it's like I still have like that little 10% sliver that's like, yeah, let's be patient. Let's, you know, let's let him learn, let him watch. And, you know, Andy Dalton's a competent guy. He's been in the league 10 years. He can help us win some football games and, you know, he can learn and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but most of me after talking to everybody is like, nah, screw it. I'm with you guys. Throw him out there. Let's see the kid play. He looks good in that uniform, man. Let's see him play in it. You know, I can't wait. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, living in Columbus, I'm no Ohio State fan, but I do watch a lot of Ohio State games. My girlfriend is an OSU grad, so I've gotten to see him quite a bit. And man, when he is on,
yeah,
he is impressive. The Clemson game, that was one of the best pieces of quarterbacking I've seen from a college quarterback in a long time.
Yeah, he was a warrior in that game, man.
Yeah,
even after he took that shot and he had, you know, the rib thing.
Especially after he took the shot, right? I mean, he was still delivering the deep balls on the money that whole game.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, Packers fans were getting real excited about that game, about the possibility of Chris Olave being in green and gold next year. And then he comes back for his senior year next year, which had a little bit, had all of us bummed out a little bit. So,
sure.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he'll be a Packers first rounder in 22. We'll see. Maybe he'll break the streak at 20 years, I think.
There you go. Well, man, I look forward to the season. We won't get a chance to talk to you until October, which is earlier than last year because we didn't play you guys till week 12 last season. Yeah, so we'll at least be able to get to see you early on in the season to preview that first matchup, which will be in Chicago. I know you're not a Bears fan, but do you have any opinion on the Bears in Chicago or Arlington Heights? You want to weigh in on that at all?
I don't have enough of an opinion.
Okay.
I'm actually planning on trying to get to Soldier Field for the first time this fall, but not for the Packers Bears game, actually for the Wisconsin Notre Dame game.
Okay.
That's my goal. But no, I mean, so many teams have moved outside of the so-called city limits,
right,
that I would be more upset from a Bears fan perspective of leaving a historic stadium like Soldier Field than necessarily the you know, the city limits aspect of it. So as a fan of a team who also plays in a legendary historic stadium, that would be what I would be more disappointed by.
Right. And you know, the thing about Soldier Field is that before they renovated it in 2002, it was already a landmark. It was a national landmark, so they basically couldn't touch the stadium. Like, they tore the guts out of it and then built the spaceship on top of it.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And in the end result was we lost about 6,000 seats to the brand new setup, because we had about 67,000 before. We're down to 61,500, which gives us the prestige of being the lowest capacity stadium in the entire NFL. You know, the only team that ever beat us was the temporary LA Chargers playing in a 30,000 seat soccer stadium before they moved into SoFi, which has significantly more than 61,000 seats in it. Yeah. So, you know, it would suck for the Bears not to be in Chicago. It would suck, like you said, even more for them not to be in Soldier Field. But, you know, the fan base deserves a bigger facility. You know, we're one of the most loyal fan bases out there. We should have a facility that can offer more of us a chance to go to the game. The Bears, a charter franchise, deserve a state-of-the-art facility as well. And if Arlington Heights is where we have to go to get it, then, you know, it sucks, but, you know, it also doesn't at the same time. So I'm torn on it. I would lean more towards the Arlington Heights stadium just because of what it means in general. And the sting of them not playing in Chicago or not playing at Soldier Field, you'll get over it eventually. You know, it won't matter after a while. So, you know, it's like Ditka came out and had made his set his two cents, and they're a Chicago institution. They belong in Chicago, and that's the end of it. I wish that was true. I do. But, you know, as long as the Park District won't let us touch the columns on the outside and we still have to build within the confines, the Bears are never going to have the stadium that they want to have in Chicago. It's just not possible. So going to Arlington Heights is probably their best option to have their cake and eat it too, as far as the stadium goes. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, Evan, it's been a blast as always, man. We look forward to having you on for the first matchup in October, and then we'll see you again in December for your post bye week Sunday night, your annual Sunday night football visit from the Bears.
That's right.
Because we can't play during the day in Lambeau. It's just not legal. I think it's, I guess that's something written into the mandates of the schedule. When the Bears come to Lambeau, it's got to be on national TV under the lights. So, you know, we'll be doing that for the 28th season in a row.
Yeah, well, I will look forward to it. Certainly we'll be hoping that the Packers are sitting somewhere around like 4-1 or so when we come into that game, but we shall see. We'll have
a lot of
interesting things to happen between now and then, for sure.
Go ahead and, you know, rattle off the first five so you can afford to lose one, or you know, the Bears can help you out with that one, and, you know, see how that goes. So
there you go.
But you know, so where can we keep up with you in the meantime, Evan?
Yeah, you can always find me at Tex Western on Twitter. You can catch the blog. It's at acmepackingcompany.com, at Acme Packing Co. on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. By the time you hear this, we'll probably be into our roster training camp preview. So if you need a close look at the Packers roster heading into camp, make sure to check it out.
All right. As always, Evan, say what you got to say and then get off my show.
Thanks a lot, man. Go Pack Go.
So there you have it, guys. 14 opponent preview episodes, one for each of the teams that we are playing in 2021. And that's, of course, in the regular season, because, of course, we're going to go all the way. Right, guys? Right? Right, guys? Right? I mean, you know, just guys? No? Well, all right. Well, maybe next year, right? Maybe next year? Okay. There you go. Yeah. When 2022 comes around and Justin Fields is starter from the beginning, you know, but Andy Dalton, you know, he might do some things. It's just... All right, I get it. I just, anyway, you know. All right, enough. Anyway, it's just, sorry guys, it's just me playing with the pads. It's late at night and I'm bored, and so I'm just you know, I was gonna say I was playing with myself, but I wasn't doing that, I swear to God. Anyway, want to thank Evan Western for coming on the show and helping us preview the Green Bay Packers, so we're able to close the book on all of our opponents now. We move on to the 15th and final episode of the series, and we'll be talking with our good friend Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears to preview our beloved Chicago Bears. And guys, I've already recorded that episode. Get comfortable, you know, get some, get a drink, have some chips, maybe some popcorn, maybe even a sandwich, you know, you never know. Cause, Lauren and I were able to squeeze it down to about 2 hours, talking about the Bears and the possibilities. And, you know, we start with the press conference from January and work our way all the way through the disaster that was the offseason right up until draft night, because we haven't talked to Lawrence since before draft night. And everything that's gone through since then, the concerns that we do have, the low-key good moves that Ryan Pace has made besides his masterful trading on draft weekend, where, you know, going into draft night, of course, we all thought that Ryan Pace was the worst general manager in the history of football. But after draft weekend, we're like, yeah, he might be all right at this. You know, he's he made very smart trades. He didn't mortgage the future to go out and get to both of our guys and Tevin Jenkins and Justin Fields. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're excited about this season. You guys have heard me say it pretty much in every episode that we've done so far, that, you know, there the outlook to 2021 was bleak at best, you know, because it was going to be a lame duck year for Nagy, a lame duck year for Pace, you know, the embarrassment of the quarterback situation all throughout the offseason, and then culminating in the signing of Andy Dalton, no salary cap space, so we couldn't sign anybody else, talking about trading away Akeem Hicks, had to let go of Kyle Fuller, and all the rest of that stuff. It was just bad, 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 bad across the board until we get to draft night. And then all of a sudden we make these trades. We didn't mortgage our future to do it. And all of a sudden, you know, the future looks brighter regardless of who's going to be leading us to it in the general manager and coaching area. We got Justin Fields. We got Tevin Jenkins. They'll be here after those guys are gone. And I can't wait to see what they'll be able to do for us. So Lauren and I talk about that. And actually, guys, I was able to make the AFC and NFC preview episodes happen. So next Monday and next Thursday, we'll have two more episodes, one for the AFC, one for the NFC. And our good friend Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, who also does Locked On NFL for the Locked On Podcast Network, we'll be back for both shows. We'll be previewing both conferences to basically lead you right up to training camp, because I think next Thursday will be what, the 30th? I think so. And I think the Bears report on, no, it'll be the 29th. Next Thursday will be the 29th. That will be the NFC show. Next Monday, the 26th, will be the AFC. And, you know, that'll take us to training camp. And then you'll have a little bit of break, about a couple weeks, 2 weeks. And then I'll be back to review Bears-Dolphins for the first preview or first preseason game of the season. You know, I would, I'm really, really looking forward to that. So I don't know if I'm going to do anything in the interim. I have an idea, but I got to see if I can get my guest to come back on the show to talk about it. And otherwise, yeah. So come on back Thursday for myself and Lauren. We'll be previewing the Bears. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.